Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani joins me this afternoon on a glorious, glorious Wednesday afternoon. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Good, mate. It's one of those afternoons where you think, gosh, wouldn't it be nice sitting out in the sun with a glass of wine and maybe a little bit of lunch?
I love the sound of that already. I'm looking outside and wish I was there as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Let's talk tech, all things tech. Google is ready to apparently take on Apple when it comes to smartwatches. They've got this new prototype. I clicked on your link, but it wouldn't let me go there.
Ah, probably because it's a paywalled article,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but... jeez, there's a lot of those these days, isn't there? These paywall collections where you and the other thing is not the fact that you haven't paid any money to view the paper or the article. The other one is if you've got an ad blocker on your computer, you may not need to pay them money to view the article, but if you've got an ad blocker on your browser, a lot of sites these days don't allow you to go to them with the wording it, you know, we make money from selling advertising on our site, please basically, you know, allow us to do that and, you know, what's the word? Get rid of your ad blocker, basically.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's looking for a way to make money with this stuff, I guess. It's a tough one. It's a tough compromise.
Talk to me about this Google versus Apple.
Look, this is exciting because, I mean, Apple have become the biggest watch company on the planet. They sell more watches than any other brand, including watch companies.
Do they really?
Yeah, they are outselling everybody for watches, which is a scary thought because they don't look particularly great compared to a nice Rolex or something like that, but that's the way it is. So Google is obviously going to step in the ring here and try and take them on, but also to give a good alternative to everyone who's not using an iPhone. And they have a watch which we expect will be announced next week. And the reason we think they have a watch is because someone conveniently left it in a restaurant last week. So somebody picked it up and realized, hang on a minute, it's a Google-branded smartwatch. It looks like what we've been seeing from leaks and things like that. So we think we're pretty close to getting an actual announcement next week.
Jeff, can I ask you, how much do you think plays into the person that brings their product to the market first, like the Apple Watch, and it has been so successful, how much do you think that plays a role in, well, Google will never catch up because Apple started so many years ago and they're so far in front?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things. I think at the moment, everyone who sees a smartwatch calls it an Apple Watch. And it's funny that even when I'm not wearing an Apple Watch, people say, oh, is that an Apple Watch? Because it's just, it's become what smartwatches are. And they've defined that term in some ways. But in saying that, it's not that anyone can't catch up. I mean, once upon a time, we used to use MySpace. Now we use Facebook or Instagram or something else. There's always something else coming that's threatening the current competitor. And I think, you know, we all used to have Windows computers. A lot of us use Macs now as well. So, you know, there's always going to be somebody who can rise and take that next purchase.
Tell me what Snapchat is. For people who are listening this afternoon that don't know what Snapchat is, what's Snapchat?
So Snapchat's an app that you can send photos or videos to one another, but they automatically disappear and effectively delete. So if I was to normally SMS you a photo, you would have that photo. It's in your hand on your device. You can keep it forever. But if I Snapchat a picture to you, then after 10 seconds, it's gone. It's completely gone. You'll never be able to see it again. And for a lot of teenagers, that seems to be the way they'd like to go because they would like to share images about what they're up to. But if it's not a perfect photo, they don't feel that upset because it disappears after 10 seconds. It's not there forever.
Where does it go?
It disappears. It deletes itself off the internet, basically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So if you receive something in Snapchat, you open it, and as you're viewing the image, it starts to count down. And then after that 10 seconds, it's gone as if it was never even on your phone in the first place.
So you can't grab it and save it at all. It just deletes.
If you take a screenshot, because everyone can take screenshots on their phones, if you take a screenshot, the person who sent that to you will get a notification. And that may break trust and you say, well, I'm not going to share any more images with you, but they have got that screenshot already.
Okay, so now we know what Snapchat is. They've released a pocket-sized drone for capturing better group photos and moments. And they, the selfie stick, it's a big long thing like, I suppose, an umbrella handle that you put your phone into to the end of and you hold it out and you can get yourself a wide-angle shot, can't you, with your phone?
Yeah, so I mean, selfie sticks sort of had their moment, I think, and they became a bit silly to carry and to be seen using one. But how about this? A pocket-sized drone that you can launch in front of you, and it will either fly around you, fly in front of you, whatever you choose to tell it to do, and it will capture photo and video that you can then share. And Snapchat is releasing this product. It's called the Pixie, and this will be just for taking photos of yourself or with you and your friends in that moment. And because it's so small, you could just carry it in your handbag or in your pocket.
When you say it's a drone, how high will it fly?
Not far. So the objective of this kind of drone is only to move up to 2 meters away from you. So it's really just for capturing a photo that you and your friends want to take without having to hold your hand out. It's not for actually flying across distances.
New technology has provided a way for our lips and mouths to feel in virtual reality. This is all a bit spooky, this thing.
Look, we're seeing new advancements in VR all the time, and we always talk about this virtual world that we're going to be living in one day, where we feel like we can have face-to-face interaction in a virtual world. But to do that, you need to bring all the feeling and smells and experiences that you would normally have. And some scientists have come together to work out how we can get mouth feel. So, say, for example, a rose brushes over our lips, you'll actually feel some sort of sensation. While you're doing that in a virtual world, you'll feel something on your mouth. But one of the areas that they have said you could do is kissing. So if you wanted to kiss somebody in a virtual world, maybe you were overseas and you were in a virtual world with your wife, you could potentially give her a kiss and say hello. It would be a strange thing to experience, I think.
Tell me more about this. You're overseas and you're in a virtual world with your wife. What do you mean you're in a virtual world with your wife? Because there'd be people listening to this afternoon going, what?
I know. This is ridiculous. But whenever I travel, if I travel by myself, I need to video call or something like that back home to touch base. And that's always a nice way to communicate. But if we start to step into this virtual reality experience, then I'll take a headset with me. And then what I would do is my wife would join with a headset and we'd sort of see ourselves standing together in a place. Could be anywhere. We could be standing together in a park, for example, even though we're sitting maybe in a hotel room and she's at home. And we're about to actually see each other, communicate, wave, shake hands, do whatever you actually wanted to do, and make it feel like you're actually in the same room together.
My God, that's spooky.
It is spooky. It changes the way people could online date in the future.
Ah, dear. A motorcycle helmet. It's about to get more advanced. There's cameras, there's audio, there's visual aids. I believe you're paying around about $1,300 for this particular motorcycle helmet. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, it is expensive, but I mean, this is a helmet that has a camera built into the front so you can record everything that you're doing, almost like having a dash cam.
Right.
It's got speakers on the inside so that you could actually take a phone call while you're riding as well. But I think for me, having that built-in dash cam is pretty impressive that, you know, you're actually on a motorbike here and there's not many dash cams available for motorcycles, and having something built into the helmet means that it sees everything that you're looking at while you're riding. So, $1,200, though, it's not the cheapest product.
Well, I wish they'd come up with something like this for people who ride push bikes, because I think a helmet like that that has a dash cam and that has cameras and has, audio and things like that, that would be really good for people that ride push bikes as well.
I totally agree. And unfortunately, how do you power something like that when it's a push bike? It's a little bit trickier, but I agree. I mean, this helmet would be way too bulky for a cyclist, but I would love to see that happen for everybody.
Next is speakers glued to the wall that look like fabric.
This is amazing. So MIT is a university in Boston, and they're always trying to invent something new. And they've come up with an invention at the moment that is an ultra-thin speaker, so it can be produced just like wallpaper. So imagine sticking something to your wall and it being your speakers. So you could either have a whole wall of audio, or you could have just a patch in the kitchen where you've actually got music. So no need to put a big bulky box or anything like that anymore. The future of speakers could just be something that's completely flat like a piece of paper.
I do like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, that changes a lot of things. And it also changes what headphones would look like, or even what our garments could look like. We could have our speakers built into our collar of our shirt so we could listen to music from that. Who knows?
And just finally, the 5G battleground. Optus in one corner, Telstra in the other. They compete on speed and reliability with interesting results.
Yeah, I was fascinated by this because I have been testing both at my place since I've moved, and Optus have sort of gotten the award, I guess, for the fastest average 5G speed, and their average 5G speed on their network is 268 megabits per second. That's twice the speed of the normal NBN. Whereas Telstra wins on reliability. They have more coverage of 5G. It's in more places than Optus as well. So, you know, it's an interesting battleground as we start to see people maybe decide whether they do have 5G or the NBN or Starlink, for example, but it presents a really compelling option now.
Can I ask you, what's the cheaper of the two, of Optus and Telstra for 5G? Or are they six or one and a half dozen of the other?
It's very, very close. So a 1 terabyte plan with Optus is $70 a month, whereas an unlimited plan with Telstra is $80 a month. So you start to factor in $10 difference, depending on how much downloads you use. It could really maybe decide what you do on the NBN.
What about, just quickly, what about Vodafone? Are they thrown in on this one?
Look, they are in this. They have such a small 5G network that they weren't really up for any awards, even if they wanted to. Still in their early days.
Jeff, it's always a delight to chat with you. Thank you, mate. We'll talk to you next Wednesday afternoon, okay?
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Jeff Cotramani.